years. I enjoy that, and that is a blessing. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 16, please. Romans 16. Now, I'm going to take just a few moments tonight, and what we'll do tonight is lay the groundwork. I have more material than I have time to cover. We'll lay the groundwork for next few weeks. Now, next Wednesday night, next week is the pastor's conference in Elgin. And Lord willing, I plan to be there for most of that, not all of it, but most of it. Brother Scott Hanks will be at the conference, and I want you to meet, I think you've met Brother Hanks, but I want you to hear him. He's a young man doing a good work in Lawrence, Kansas, and we use him and his materials here at the church for disciple. We've used it for discipleship in some ways, and in other ways, Sunday school lessons and so forth. And Scott Hanks used to play basketball against Faith Baptist Christian School years ago, and he was up here with his daddy at Sauk Village. And he's a good man, a great fella, and he's going to be at the conference, and I want you to hear him. I'll be here, and I'm just going to bring him. He's got a lot of pastors in for the conference, and I want to have Brother Scott speak to you next Wednesday night. We'll have a good time with Brother Hanks. All right, look, please, at verse number 17. He says here, Paul writing to the church, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." We looked at this verse last week along with several others. I do want you to notice that Paul makes it very specific that you're supposed to mark folks which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, not personality. Not personality. I preached a message some years ago at our church back in the old building. And then I preached it a couple times at conferences. In fact, Jack Treber got a hold of it somehow, and he had me come to his church because of that message some years ago. I preached a message called "For We Be Brethren." We had a lot of problems in the independent fundamental Baptist ranks back in those days with killing each other. That's stupid. And you're supposed to mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, not personality. Doctrine. Not the way you run your ministry. Doctrine. Okay? He's very specific about that. "Which ye have learned, and avoid them." So he says, mark them if they cause divisions contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Verse 18, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." He says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." And the evil he's talking about there is the false doctrine. I'd like for you to be innocent when it comes to false doctrine. Okay? I'm not one to major a lot on cults and so forth, and I know some guys that do, and that's all right. That's what the Lord leads them to do. But, you know, when they train FBI agents on how to identify fake money, the way they train them to identify fake money is they never let them handle it. They make them handle the real stuff so many times, so it just becomes so ingrained in their touch that they know what the real stuff feels like. And then any counterfeit money, if they ever encounter counterfeit money, they immediately are aware of it because they know the real so well. You see what I'm saying? That's what Paul is saying here. He said, you know what? Stay innocent concerning false doctrine. Just be just be innocent about it. Okay? You don't need to go out and study all the false doctrine. Now, Brother Mark Bachman over in Germany has done a great service to soul winning because he's written a book on how to win Muslims to Christ. You got to know a little bit about what a Muslim believes before you can try to win them to the Lord. How to approach them. So it doesn't hurt to do a little bit of that kind of study. But Paul told these people, he said, "I would just soon you be wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning evil." Okay, let's pray. Lord, bless us tonight in a quick way here. Help me to know exactly how far to go, what to say, and lay the foundation again on this series of, Lord, why we're fundamentalists. Is it important to be one? And I pray that, God, you'll help our young people, especially all the adults as well. But, Lord, especially the young people to really grab a hold of this tonight now. And understand through these lessons why we're fundamentalists, why we want them to grow up to be fundamentalists. And we'll thank you for it. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no doubt that in my mind, and I don't think other folks' mind, that God teaches us to separate from those who teach, preach, or promote false doctrine. Now, we have been looking at this matter of fundamentalism and so forth, and I won't take the time to get the fellows up here and hold these signs. We are fundamentalists, okay? That word was created and began to be used and originated back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when the liberals, who really got their start in Germany, they were called the higher critics and higher criticism because they began to cast doubt on the authority and the credibility and the authenticity of God's Word. And a group of men said, we're not going to yoke up with those folks. We don't want to be with them. We're not going to buy what they're saying. They're liberal. We are fundamentalists. They have forsaken fundamentalism, and we're not. We're going to stay as fundamentalists. So it was. That's why the term was created. And then sometime later, a group of folks became known as evangelical. They believed much like the fundamentalist believes, but they didn't appreciate the militant position of the fundamentalists. They didn't appreciate the confrontational style of the fundamentalists. And it's not polite to talk when I'm teaching folks. It really isn't. Y'all know that. It really isn't. I don't mean any age. I don't mean just teenagers. Not just teenagers. Sometimes other folks do. They're so fundamental. So they said, we don't appreciate the militant confrontational style of a fundamentalist that would ask folks to pay attention in church. Okay? So, they just kind of let things go. All right? So they won't deal with it. So we believe a lot alike, but, we're just going to move a little bit to the left of some of these areas of militant fundamentalism and so forth and so on. And then out of that group came another group along about 1945, 50, called neo-evangelical. And these folks, the word neo, the little prefix, means new, and that's where we get the term new evangelical. They were, if you will, to the left of the evangelicals in that they, and I've talked about what they promoted and at their own admission, what they believe and how they were open-minded to liberal theologians. We're going to enter into dialogue with them, and we're going to enter into discussion where the fundamentalist takes a position that Paul told the church at Rome to take. If you find somebody who has gone astray from the doctrine which ye have learned, you mark them and avoid them. Now, so that's what he told him. So he said you need to separate. So a fundamentalist practices what we call ecclesiastical separation. Okay? Meaning that we don't yoke up with unbelievers. We don't yoke up with liberals. And really, because we don't want to yoke up with liberals, we're not going to yoke up with those who want to yoke up, who are open to liberals. So we're not going to yoke up with the evangelicals because they yoke up with liberals, okay? And so we believe in what's known as separation, ecclesiastical separation. Now, the words that Paul used here are the words mark and avoid. He said, you mark them and you avoid them. Now, the word mark means to take aim at. It means take aim at. That's what it means. And the word avoid means to go out of the way. So Paul said, if somebody is promoting false doctrine, if somebody's teaching, preaching, or promoting false doctrine, then, if you want to be a fundamentalist, if you want to be obedient and true to the Scripture, Paul said, then you mark those folks and you avoid them. You take aim at them and you go out of the way to get away from them. That kind of fits the definition of separation. Mark them and avoid them. Separate. Now, the new evangelical has decided to take a different approach to that command to separate. We talked about this last week. He has decided to take practice the tactic of infiltration. So he's not going to separate. He's not going to practice separation. He instead is going to practice infiltration. Here it is, December 8th, 1957, Harold Okinga made the following statement. He was one of the driving forces of this new evangelical movement. And I quote to you, he said in his own words, the new evangelicalism has changed its strategy from one of separation to one of infiltration. Those were his words. Okay? Then he said, instead of static front battles, the new theological war is one of movement. I gave you this quote last week. Instead of static front battles, the new theological war is one of movement. Now, the definition, I didn't get into this last week, but the definition of static is, in the dictionary, pertaining to or characterized by a fixed or stationary condition. This pulpit is not static. It can be moved. This microphone stand is not static. It can be moved. That balcony up there is static. You're glad, aren't you? As you're sitting up there, amen. It can't be moved. Okay? So that's what the word static means. It's pertaining to or characterized by a fixed or stationary condition. Now, folks, battles are fought when someone draws a line in the sand and makes it clear that they will not go beyond that line. This is what I believe, and I'm not moving from this position. That's a static position. We have a static position on the Bible. We have a static position on salvation by grace through faith. We have a static position on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, His burial, His bodily resurrection from the grave, and that is, in essence, the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You don't pray over beads, and you don't wave a little thing around in the air, and you don't get dunked in the water to go to heaven. You come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him, and what He has already done as your finished work for salvation. We're static on that. You with me? Understand, right? We don't move on that. Okay? So we're static on that. Now, that's a static position. The evangelical does not have a fixed or stationary line when it comes to doctrinal positions. He doesn't have a fixed position. He doesn't have a stationary position. And that's in his own words. Okay? I'm quoting the man who is the poster child for new evangelicalism. Okay, I'm not quoting a fundamentalist about new evangelicals. I'm quoting a new evangelical, the poster boy. He said, we're not going to take a static position. He said, we are, our lives, our doctrinal positions are movable. They're movable. And so he says, we're not going to practice separation. We're going to practice infiltration. Now, I would ask anybody to take me to a chapter and verse in this book right here to defend the tactic of infiltration. I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can go anywhere in this book and show me where God says infiltrate. Now, wait a minute. In the matter of soul winning, as individuals, as a church, as organized soul winners, we infiltrate the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where He's going. He's going to infiltrate the Tibetan people in Nepal with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? But as a church body, and as a position on the faith, a position of what we believe on the faith, we are told to separate, not infiltrate, from those who promote false doctrine. Separate. Mark them, avoid them, if the doctrine they're promoting and teaching and preaching is different from what you have learned. If it's contrary to what you have learned, you don't infiltrate them, you mark them and avoid them. How simple is that? How clear is that? Pretty clear, isn't it? Okay? It doesn't mean hate them. It doesn't mean go around kicking them. But it means take a static position. And stay there, stationary on your doctrine. Don't move. Now, they're going to promote infiltration instead of separation. Now, this may seem like a good tactic to practice. But do you realize how wrong what we seem can be sometimes? You realize how wrong that can be? Proverbs 6:14-12 and 16:25 says this: there is a way which what? Seemeth wrong? Not seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You hear this man? He is not going down a road thinking to himself, hey, this is going to end up in destruction. I'm going to ruin my life. I'm going to end up in hell. I'm going to deny the faith. He's not going down the road thinking that. This is the wrong road. Bless God, and I'm taking it. He thinks it's right. This seems right to me, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's why we need a Bible. The book of Judges, every man, what was the book of Judges? That was the man that showed all the corruption and the idolatry and the, in the book of Judges, that guy took that concubine woman and cut her into 12 pieces and shipped apart one of those 12 pieces to every tribe in the nation of Israel. Can you imagine that? There's all kind of nonsense in the book of Judges. And you know how it's characterized? Every man did that which was what? Right! In his own eyes. Do you understand that these people that are promoting abortion really believe it's right? Yeah. They think it's right. But what seems right in the eyes of man oftentimes is wrong in the sight of God. And that's why we need a Bible. We need a Bible. And more importantly, we need to know what the Bible teaches and live by it. Live by it. Infiltration as opposed to separation leads to what I want to call capitulation. You capitulate on your doctrinal belief. The only way you're going to stand in a static position on your doctrine is to practice separation from those who have learned contrary to what you've been taught. Are you with me? Okay, if I'm not going to capitulate, I've got to separate. If I infiltrate, then I'm going to capitulate. I'm going to show you that. We won't get into it tonight. We're going to be out of time in just a couple minutes. But I'm going to show you that over the next little bit. Infiltration as opposed to separation leads to capitulation. Give you a couple of verses. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be what? Wait. This man's purpose, the new evangelical's purpose, is to infiltrate the liberal. To bring him to a position of what? Truth. He's not infiltrating the liberal to end up a fool. But when you walk with fools, when you lay down with the dogs, you get up with the fleas. And God said, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You say, well, you call a person who denies the Bible a fool? I think that's a pretty good definition. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. No God, no. So that's what it is. Now, how about Amos 3:3? Can two walk together except they be agreed? What's the obvious answer to that question? No. So here you got a man, he believes he believes that you can get saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. That's the only way to get saved, to escape the penalty of our sin, which is eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And he believes that, and he wants to be static on that position. Here's a man who believes you fly a prayer flag or you swirl a prayer in the air and count a few beads, and that's how you get to heaven. Can these two walk together except they be agreed? No. So if they're neither one of them going to change, guess what, folks? They're not going to walk together. Right? I mean, either he's got to come here or he's got to come here. One or the other. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So the new evangelical says, my position on this doctrine is not static. I'll listen to what he has to say. I know he denies that Jesus came out of the grave. He denies that Jesus died. He thinks Jesus went into some kind of soul sleep or swooned, unconscious in a coma for a few days. But that's okay. I think I can help him. And so I'm going to infiltrate him and I'm going to try to bring him to the truth and bring him my way. And he does not practice the doctrine of separation. Rather, he practices the tactic of infiltration. He walks together with this man. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. So what does that mean by default? By default, that means that this man eventually capitulates. Are you with me? On his belief. And this is what Paul told them. He said, you've got to mark them and avoid them. Just a couple of thoughts on this matter of infiltration, we'll call it a night. Now, the new evangelical believes it is possible to change the modernist, change the liberal, and bring him back to the truth. Now, you know what? First of all, you better make sure your position is a position of truth. How do you bring people to a position that's not even truthful? Okay? But beyond that, his idea is let's go in among them, let's befriend them, let's love them, and permeate them with the truth. I want you to see what Paul said. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verse number 1. He said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs." He's not talking about pit bulls. And you have more to fear from the Chihuahua than you do the pit bull. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse number 2, he's not talking about pit bulls or collies or German shepherds or chihuahuas. He is talking about the Judaizers who did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, did not believe that you got saved by trusting in His death, burial, and resurrection, believed that you kept all the tenets and rituals and ceremonies of the Old Testament law. That's the evil workers. That's the dogs. That's the concision. It doesn't sound to me like Paul is intending to infiltrate that group of people. If you're going to infiltrate them, hello, how are you doing? Hi, dog, how you doing? I'm here to help you, dog. You evil worker. You're not going to get very far. If you're going to infiltrate them, you got to change. You got to be all greasy and oily and sweet and sugary, huh? I don't think that's what Paul was talking about here. I think Paul's talking about infiltration. I think he's saying, hey, Philippian church, you know what? By the way, he said, I've been on this thing to you before, and to write the same things to you is not grievous to me. I don't mind telling you again. In fact, it's safe for you to hear this again and again and again and again and again and again and again. When somebody comes in promoting false doctrine, they're a dog, they're an evil worker, they're of the concision. You beware of that crowd. Don't infiltrate them. Mark them. Avoid them. Beware of them. Now, folks, here's what we got to understand. What we must understand is that these false teachers do not promote false doctrine because they do not know better. In many cases. Now, when you've got 95% of the Tibetan people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's a different story. But when you've got higher critics coming out of universities in Germany who have been educated and schooled and learned and they have been exposed to the truth, they have willingly chosen to reject it and embrace error. They're not there because of just ignorance. They're there because they chose that. Are you with me? They chose it. See, Okinga knew about separation. He knew about it. He said, we have changed our strategy from one of separation to one of infiltration. He knew the doctrine of separation as taught in the Bible. And yet he made a conscious, willful choice to reject that and instead come up with some idea of infiltration. It sounded good, but just had no Bible substance to it. Maybe that's why Paul called them evil workers and dogs. And you know what's sad? You know, fundamentalists get, you're so narrow-minded and you can be mean-spirited, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you call names. You know, I don't know that I've ever called him a dog. And those aren't exactly Paul's words. Let's see, maybe if you gave your only begotten Son to come to this earth and shed His blood for the salvation of mankind's soul, and then you had somebody spit on that, maybe you might consider them to be a dog too. I don't know where this thing of infiltration came up. I don't know why we have people taught and trained in fundamental churches and schools nowadays taking this crazy idea that it's mean-spirited and ugly to take a static position. That's exactly what the Bible tells us to do. Take a static position and don't move. And when the wolves start circling the flock with their false doctrine, you don't say, yeah, you know, let's go out here and see if we can change the wolf. You mark them and you avoid them. They're dogs. They're evil workers. They're of the concision. And we don't want anything to do with the crowd that denies that Jesus is God. We don't want anything to do with the crowd that denies that salvation is anything other than Jesus Christ shed blood and that's it. Nothing else. And that is a static, fundamental position. And the new evangelical says, you know, that just doesn't appeal to me. I think we will infiltrate. So he knew about separation. He rejected it and embraced infiltration. So it's a choice. It's a willful decision to ignore the plain teaching of the Word of God. And it does not work. And it ends in capitulation. And eventually, I will tell you, and some of you already know, the name of the leading new evangelical evangelist who started down the road of infiltration instead of separation and has gone on record as not even believing that hell's a place of fire. Now. And has gone on record now of saying, you know what? Those Tibetan people that are swirling their flags and swirling their sticks, well, that's the way they get to their God. That's their idea of salvation. So that's good for them. The man who used to preach with Jack Hiles and John Rice and Bob Jones Sr. Yeah. Used to preach the truth. Used to preach salvation only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing. As now in his messages of years gone by, denied that there's fire in hell. And, you know, the Buddhist, well, you know, he's practicing the way he knows to get to God. So let him do what he wants. And let the Tibetans do what they want. And let everybody just kind of do what they want in their idea of getting to God. And it's okay. Everybody will get there. Help us. You know what that's called, folks? That's called capitulation. Wouldn't you say? Exactly what it's called. And so that's why we want to take the stand on separation. I'll show you in the future. Now, Scott will be here next, Brother Hanks will be here next week, but we'll get into this in a couple of weeks. All right, thank you. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And appreciate you listening attentively. Now, it is Wednesday night, and just let me always say this. You sit through a Bible lesson, you don't know that you're saved, or you know you've been playing a game. And the Spirit of God reaches out and touches your heart and says, you know what? This matter of salvation is important. If you're not sure where your eternal destiny is, the greatest thing you can ever do is to do what I did 33 years ago in a few weeks. Walk down a church aisle and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. By trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is the single most important decision you'll ever make. And then church after, of course, salvation and baptism, obedience to the Lord in many areas, we need to understand why we're fundamentalist and why we practice the doctrine of separation. My dear Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight. If there's anyone here in our midst that doesn't know that they're saved, they don't know that heaven is their home. I pray that, dear Spirit of God, you draw them to Jesus Christ do a work in the heart. I pray, God, that You'll please help us as a church. Lord, our disposition needs to be right, kind, fair, compassionate, but our position needs to be static. Help us, please, I pray, to obey You. In Christ's name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies are going to play a little bit of music as they play. If you want to come, if you don't know that you're saved, I'd invite you to come down. Let somebody take a Bible and show you.